one. Before I get started, I got to apologize right off the bat. I was talking about us being distracted while we're singing, and then I was all excited about something else, and so I stood there and talked to Penny over there in the corner while half of the song was, the praise song was going on. So I apologize to the people I distracted over there. Penny, I'm sorry about keeping you from worship, but what I was all excited about was, you know, the New Freedom Farm over here does a thing for the veterans. They do several things. That's what the ministry, it's like a ministry, I guess. But lady over there really has a burden for veterans, and so they always, every April, they have Freedom Fest, and they have a bunch, it's a big event. It keeps getting bigger every year. Last year, she told me it was 1,500 and some people came, and over the years, she's always, from day one, they've asked if they could use our parking lot for the overflow, and we said, yes, sure. And last year, they had, I mean, it was motorcycles from the front of this place down. We even started parking them along the road that way. And I forgot how many, and I was up here, and I looked across there, and I thought, man, what an opportunity, besides just using the church for a parking lot, that we have to witness to some people. You know, we had talked to them, interacted with them, some of us here, you know, we're up here. So, just got that burden last year about that, and, you know, we talk about witnessing, soul winning to people, and we pray about people to soul win to. Boy, what an opportunity. You're going to have, we'll probably have 500 bikes at least. Rolling Thunder got involved with it this year. And then also they're going to have a World War II military plane flyover. Some of you might have seen the guy practicing the other last week one day where he was flying that plane through a little smoke out over here in it. But they're going to have that going on this year. And so I went over there to the meeting. She had us come. Channel 27 was there. The weather guy, John Carlin, and the programming guy was there. We met everybody and got in on the meeting. And I told her what, I didn't want to do anything to hurt them. We would help parking. Penny's got a golf cart with it. They use some carts to drive people over, but she also had one, which is going to take a little burden off of them as far as renting an extra one. And we knew about that. And I said, you know, some other things I thought we would like to do. We want to open up the church. They have the restroom capabilities. I said, you know, we'd like to do something with some food, but I don't want to take away from you. She said, no, it's not a problem. We ran out of food. They have food and all. So this is my vision, and if the church doesn't share in it, it's not going to work. But I just felt like this is the way I thought we ought to go with it, and so I'll end up having a meeting to see. But what I thought we could do, you know, we can help with the parking, obviously. If you like motorcycles, you won't be able to look at them all. They fill it up, especially if it's a good weather day. But what a chance to witness to people. We can give out tracks, open up the restrooms. We thought about getting food, like doing hot dogs, some chips, have water bottles. We can make coffee. I thought about, you know, doing it as a fundraiser. And then I had a suggestion that maybe it's the veterans. Let's don't charge them nothing. And I said, well, you know what we could do? We just put a donation thing there. If somebody wants to give, they can give. They don't. A lot of times, you know, they'll give more than what if you ask them for money. But if they don't give, that's fine. We can get too many hot dogs, we save them for Bible school and all that. Hot dogs, you can freeze them. And so, but what I want to do is, I don't want it to be like a, just kind of a non-active thing. What I, you know, one of the easiest thing in the world to do is just to, you know, you go up, and I did this last year some, I went up, you know, you just say, hey, how y'all doing? Because they come in groups, and how you doing? Where y'all from? And all that. Hey, is there anything that I could pray with you about? And, you know, they may say no, or they may say something. Or say, even if they do, you say, hey, let me pray with you, give you a chance. We can wear our T-shirts at Save Valley View Baptist. They'll know we're the church people. You can pray with somebody. You can ask them if they know the Lord. You know, this is putting feet on our request. I talked with, along that lines, but I'll finish this part off. But that's what I'd like to do. It's April the 4th. It's a Saturday. It's from 11 to 6. You know, it'll start off slow and peter out at the end. So we won't maybe have to stay the whole time, or maybe people can come at different times to help out. But I mean, here's your chance. You know, it's our parking lot. They're going to be in the church grounds. Nobody's going to, you know, beat you up for witnessing. And if you can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I pray with you? You know, you need to pray. You need to do some praying. And we need to pray anyway, because we can't do it. Christ has got to do it. You know, us being dead and him being alive in us, and he can do it. And so here's your chance right here. Get over the fears of things. We can cook hot dogs, like I say, open up that part, they can sit in there, whatever they want to do, and we can have tracks and all those things. That we could have bake sales stuff and do donations of that. However far we want to carry, it's going to depend on how much of the church wants to participate in this event right here. So I'll have a meeting schedule here in a week or two. I need to let her know what all we're going to do so they can advertise, okay? But Dan Vaughn, one of the pastors from West Virginia, was talking about, he went to this coffee shop, quick story, went to a coffee shop, and it was called the Gospel Coffee Shop, and he went in, saw some guys with Bibles and stuff, and he went in and started talking to them, and he said, let me ask you something. He said, I see this is a gospel coffee shop. How often do you actually share the gospel with somebody? He said, well, today's been a slow day, but six so far. I thought, man alive. I said, you know, let me ask you something. How many people you share the gospel with last year? There's some Christians that haven't shared the gospel six people their whole Christian life. Honestly, their whole Christian life. I talked to him about the coffee shop. They're opening one up where they live. I was thinking about Buckhannon. I said, man, Buckhannon's the place where businesses come to die most of the time, you know. But, I thought about something like that. We could do it. And then Sherry, my wife, said, well, you know, we got that house right over there. And I said, you want to pay for that? But, just something that you could, I don't know if it would work or not. Y'all pray about that. It'd be something like that we could do. But just opportunities to, it's not all in a box where you have to do it this way, you know, like in this setting, in this method. You know, there's different events or places where you can do that, share the gospel. And so just y'all pray about that. So the Freedom Fest coming up. Barnhart, they don't have on their, they got a calendar on their website. Tomorrow night they're having exercises classes at 6:30. That's what it says. I know they're having a meeting. So I'll find out. I'll tell you tonight. I'll get a hold of Harold or somebody. I'll find out when the meeting is. I'll let you know. I'll get Terry to send a text out. But we're going to leave tomorrow night. I'd like to leave an hour before it starts because we got to go at, it's in, is that Goud, I guess, over there in that area? That's where we got to go. So, good view, maybe. Good view. I think that's where it is. Good view. Good view. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And the Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, speaking about Jesus. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, notice that word immediately, the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, our worship time, our fellowship time that we've enjoyed already. And now I pray, Lord, through the preaching of your word, that you speak to each and every heart that's here. Maybe somebody, Lord, and maybe more than one somebody, Lord, really needs to trust you with all their heart, turn to you in faith, Lord, to be saved. And we pray today's the day. We know we will not accomplish it ourselves, Lord, but only you, Lord, can save them, Lord, and speak to their heart. Open hearts, Lord, and minds and eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love speaking on this text. There's different ones about the leper, and I know I've preached on it before. I'm not making apologies about that. Probably could preach on it every Sunday for a year, get something else out of it. But it's a great story of a leper being cleansed. And I started in verse 35 particularly because it's Jesus as he's about to do the works that he's going to, the great works that he's about to do. And it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And so we notice that he had a private time, he had a personal time, and that he had a prayerful time. That prayerful time, we understand, is communion with God the Father, even though he's God the Son and he's God in the flesh. but that he still had that time with God the Father. And you think about it, said right after that that he cast out devils, and then right after that he cleansed a leper. And so if we're going to do the works of God, which are impossible works as far as we're concerned, that I would say if Jesus had to spend some private time early in the morning, a great while before day, with God, a communion with God the Father, that we're going to have to do the same thing. I was thinking about when I was sharing with you about going up and talking to a bunch of people pulling in on motorcycles about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, you better get prayed up. Huh? You say, well, I'm afraid. Well, pray for courage. you better go ahead and pray and be filled with the Spirit of God to be able to share, anything about Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God in that sense. And so we see that. So we see the results of it right after that, that he went out and early and spent some time in prayer. It says that men were drawn to him. I believe if we spend time in prayer, quality time with God in the Word and in prayer, in meditation, I think if we do that every day, I believe we'll draw men unto ourselves, even though, as we found out this weekend, that we are dead, but Christ is living through us, so we will draw men to us because they're going to see Christ in us. It's not a reflection of Christ. It's not an imitation of Christ, but it's the very Christ living in us. That's on tonight's message, but I thought I'd share that with you right now. Boy, I tell you what, I wanted to preach that message so bad that Ron Lynch, I said, well, I can't do that. Those guys already heard it. I said, but I said, it was just all I could think about. I struggled so bad getting my Sunday night outline together yesterday when I got back. I told Sherry, I said, come in here and sit with me and pray, will you? Because I'm so wound up on this, I can't get it off my mind. So she came in there and prayed, and I was able to get it done. And so praise God for that. But we're going to have to, we see Jesus, he preached the word with power. We see that devils were cast out. And then we see that a leper was cleansed, which is was a big physical miracle in that day. Now, we've been given a great commission. It's great in its concept. It's great in its circumference. In other words, how large of a sphere it covers, and it's great in its continuance, and it's an impossible task for the natural man to do. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what right now. You say, well, you know what? Somebody that claims that they're saved, but they can't witness to anybody. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. They're lost. That's the problem, because if we're saved and then we have the power, it's an impossible task for a lost person to do, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world out there, to go out and tell somebody they can't do it. They just can't do it. And I'm going to tell you what, even as a Christian and living in a quenched spirit and a grieved spirit, you can't do it either. You can't do it because it's got to be Christ. You can't do it in your own strength. And so if we're going to carry it out, and have power with God and power with men, then we're going to have to rise up early depend on God, spend some time or depart into a private place and pray with God. And so we see a leper and the story of the leper. And of course, he represents really the total hopelessness and helplessness of men without God. I know you understand that. I've preached with on this before, and it's just it was a hopeless situation. No cure for it. Nobody'd been healed of it. It was a death sentence. Boy, when you found out, you went down to the doctor, and they said, or the priest in those days, and they said, man, you've got leprosy. It was a death sentence. Well, here's the reality. It represents sin. I know you understand that. The sin. Something that's within, we can't do anything about it. And if you're living in sin, if you're not saved from your sins, if you haven't been forgiven of your sins, I'm going to tell you something. You have a death sentence on you. You're living under a death sentence as well, just as well as a leper was in those days. And so, but think about this, the helplessness and hopelessness of man. How many of you got a what you think is a hopeless situation going on in your life, somewhere maybe in your family, maybe with your children, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your work, or maybe with your body, your physical body? There's a lot of people that have situations that maybe not verbally they would say, well, it's helpless and hopeless. They wouldn't say it because they may be saved, and they say, well, I know that God can do anything, but it's just like right now, nothing's happening and all that. But listen, how else can God be glorified except through what we see is a helpless or hopeless or impossible situation? I mean, God's not going to get glory if it's a possible situation to us. He's going to get glory if it's an impossible situation to us. And God, and so the greater the problem, well, if you think, well, boy, my problem's worse than everybody else's, well, boy, what grounds for God to work is on your problem. I mean, because if that, when he takes care of it, I mean, he's going to get the most glory from that. So every lost soul and every person with a problem, I guess we could say, which is about all of us, every lost soul is grounds for the spiritual power to work and for God to be glorified in that. Jesus told the one that was a boy, a younger guy that had been born blind. And they wondered about it. The Pharisees were asking, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one. He said he was born blind so that the mighty works of God may be manifest in him. That's it. The mighty works of God may be manifest in him. So that's well, why is there so many tragedies in the world? So that the mighty works of God may be manifest in them. So, you know, we are here for the same reason as the man born blind. And so we see that. The leper, you know, he came, and one of the points, he came to Jesus with expectation. He came there. He went to Jesus expecting something. And I'll show you that by the way he requested. And I want to ask you something. What did you come here expecting today? When we come, and listen, we can come to Jesus anywhere, but when we come particularly to worship God, when we come, it's the Lord's day. Y'all got up, man, I'm glad, I'm proud of you. I mean, you got your clock set. Some of you probably had to set your clock, if not, but you got up. You knew last night when you went to bed you was going to come to church today. You got dressed, man, you got in a car, you put it in gear, you got the kids together and all that, you know, did all the things you got to do, and you got down here to church. I mean, but what were you expecting when you were on the way? What did you think that was going to happen when you got here today? This leper went and he was expecting something. And I mean, his expectation was high. It was high. First point, leper's faith in verse 40. He said, this leper came beseeching him, that's begging, and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. Now, very first thing, nobody had to tell this guy that he was a leper. You know, hey, man, you're a leper. Man, I didn't know that. You know, we were, he knew, he could see from the outward, it's an outward problem, inward problem, outward problem as well. But he came to Jesus and he knew exactly what he wanted. Now, when you came here today, did you know exactly? What did you want? What did you want? Kill off an hour or so? You're going to be a little more than an hour today. I got news for you. I'm on point one. It's 5:12. Amen. It's okay, preacher. Thank you. Now, you know, there's the problem with a lot of lost people is, and we talk about this all the time. Brian was mentioning something today about talking to a couple guys. They knew they were lost. Well, that's half the battle. Maybe 75% of the battle is finding somebody that knows that they're lost, what the problem is. Because the lost problem, the sin problem, is not as obvious as somebody that's got leprosy on the outside. It's not that obvious. You know, it can be, we can dress up and look nice, man, get a big Bible, get your makeup on, dress up real nice. Hey, brother, how you doing? We can cover it all up, right? It's not so obvious as this. And so a lot of times, you know, people, they don't really realize what the problem is. And so what is, as far as their spiritual life is, they remain kind of apathetic, indifferent, or unconcerned. You know, everything's fine. But did you ever notice how, if you ever went, if you've ever gone to the doctor, and I know some of you probably have here, you've gone to the doctor and you get that report back, and you know, you might be kind of indifferent about your health until a problem arises. But you know, most of the time, if you got a problem, say something like cancer comes up, it's something, you've already got it by the time you go to the doctor. But you weren't concerned about it until when? Until you went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, we found something. That'll get your attention. Huh? You found something. Yeah, we're going to run some more tests. And all of a sudden, well, you know, am I going to pull through? And you know, now all of a sudden you're concerned and you're going to the doctor and you want to say, doc, is there a cure? Can you do something about it? What do we got to do? We got options. Maybe we got some options. So, you know, all of a sudden there's an area in your life where your concern level changes. Well, I want to tell you something. The great physician has found something in every single human being. There's a sin problem that's in there. He's found that problem already. But you have to, since it's not like leprosy most of the time, although sin can come out in your life in a physical, visible way, then you can get more concerned. This leper, you know, they lived in leper colonies. And so what happens, they were separated from all their family and friends and loved ones, and you were all in there with like kind. Did you ever know people kind of flock around with people that are like kind? I'm going to tell you what, I got a problem with somebody that's claiming that they're a Christian, but they never want to hang around with Christian people. There's something wrong with that, huh? And you always want to hang around a bunch of lost people and people that are ungodly and ungodliness, and you want to be around in ungodly places. There's something wrong with that. The lepers in the leper colony were all in the same place. So they would gather up. They'd be in the same place. And a lot of them, what happens is they gave up hope. They got to living in this one place. They gave up hope. They think they're never going to get out of there. And what happens is they just keep living. Leper colony was a bad place. It's a stinking mess. Everybody's falling apart. Look at the world we live in today. And a lot of people just keep on. And they'll keep on living in that same thing, content. And a lot of the lepers, they didn't come to Jesus. There was more than one leper around in Jesus' day. They were content to stay in that leper colony. They didn't come to Jesus Christ. They didn't get healed. And there's a lot of people out in the world today that are living in sin, and they're content to live in that sin till the day they die, and they won't come to Jesus Christ until then. That's the way sin is. But this man, he had great faith, you know. This leper heard something about Jesus, and he put faith in that. Now, up at this point, as far as we know, we don't know that Jesus ever healed a leper. We don't know about that. I read a doctor, this was a doctor's description of leprosy, and I just wrote down part of what he said. He said, hair falls out from the head and eyebrows, nails loosen, decay, and drop off, joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink up and fall away. The gums are absorbed, and teeth disappear. The nose, eyes, the tongue, and palate are slowly consumed. It's a walking death. Man, it's a walking death. And in Luke's account of this same story, his account said this man was full of leprosy. That means it wasn't just a little spot that he got started, and he went down there and found out that he had leprosy. No, he was at this stage. Probably didn't have many fingers left. His fingernails are gone, his eyebrows are gone, his teeth have fallen out, his nose and face are all disfigured because of leprosy. You know, the full of leprosy. You know, if those in the days when you could bake bread, you put leaven in the dough. I don't know nothing about baking bread. I know that much. You put leaven in there. How much leaven does it take to leaven the whole lump? The Bible tells us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole thing. You can't just put it, well, it only affected this part of the loaf. No, a little, and it's the same picture. So what happens here? It's the same with sin. You know, full. You can't just be, well, I just got a little sin, or it's only affecting one place. No, you got it. It's everywhere. If you got leprosy, every part of your body was affected. It may not show up right away in every part, but every part of your body was affected. But somehow this guy believed that Jesus could cleanse him. And as I said, there was others that had leprosy, but they didn't come to him. There was a whole leper colony, but this one guy came. And there's a whole world full of lost people, but guess what? A whole world full of lost people, not everybody gets saved. You know why? Because they don't come to Jesus. They don't come to him. He's the only one. The only one that could cure the leprosy. The only one that could cure sin as well. They didn't come there. And he had the faith to be cured. And so you see how that faith works. Now, a lot of times we have faith that Jesus is going to work in somebody else's case, but not ours. We always got faith if it concerns you. Oh, you got a bad report from the doctor. Don't worry about it, brother. God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. You get one to see what happened. Huh? It's different, right? But he believed Jesus could heal him. That was personal faith. The second thing was his focus. He came to Christ. I wondered about this. How did he come to Christ? I don't know if Jesus was preaching in one of those outdoor places and he was just a little bit far off onto the side there, a little bit a ways, and he kind of heard it. Or somebody, I know that sometimes people had compassion on the leper colonies. They'd get close as they could and chunk some food their way, and maybe somebody hollered out about Jesus. He heard something. And he, you know, Maybe, like I say, witness to him. Maybe he heard about the miracles. Maybe he knew some of the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah. And maybe he remembered the Old Testament scriptures about Naaman being healed of his leprosy. Maybe he knew something about that. Maybe he knew that when the Messiah came and he heard something about Jesus, that he maybe he is the Messiah, but maybe he believed that already. At any rate, knowledge comes before faith. Otherwise, we can't place our faith. And he did, and he had some knowledge of some kind. He focused on Jesus Christ. That's all he needed to know. That's all he needed to know. The only place he had to go. The third thing is the leper's expectations. Thou canst make me clean, he said. That's a positive statement. Thou can is what he's saying. He wanted a cure. Listen, here's a problem with a lot of people in sin. This guy wanted a cure from his leprosy. He didn't want Jesus to make him comfortable in his leprosy. In other words, just keep me comfortable and I'll keep my leprosy. And that's what a lot of people want. They want to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to save me from my sin, but I want to stay in my sin. I want to stay in my sin with the thought that I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven no matter what. Even if I say, listen, that's not how it worked. He healed him of his leprosy, all of it. He wanted a cure. And so it's the same way. Listen, you're either saved from sin or you're not. He doesn't save us in our sin and keep us in our sin. He saves us from it and takes us out of it. And he doesn't make us comfortable in sin so that we can remain in sin, as so many people believe. And listen, if you're still in your sin, you're lost. You just lost. If you're comfortable in your sin, you're lost. That's it. How many of you are going to be comfortable in leprosy? You going to be comfortable with that? I wouldn't be comfortable with anything the doctor said I had something bad. I'm going to say, well, let's get it. Let's fix it. Listen, when Jesus healed this man, it was a radical healing. It was visible. He told him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, they were going to be able to see it. You getting this? I believe when you go to Jesus Christ for healing from your sin, you ain't going to have to put a bumper sticker on your car. You ain't going to have to wear a t-shirt. Somebody, you're going to see it. Somebody's going to see the world. The witness of the world is going to see it. Go show yourself. And that's what they could see. Note that word if in the leper's request. He said if Jesus was willing. Now I want to say this to you about being saved. You don't have to ask if Jesus is willing to save you. In this case, in every case as far as salvation is concerned, he's willing. 2 Peter 3:9, the last little part says, that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. All could be saved. Everybody. You don't have to ask it. You know, if you're lost and you want to be saved, Jesus will save you if you really got faith, if you're really coming in faith, if you come in with that expectation, if that's what you want. We see the leper's actions. He came to Jesus. I don't know how far he came, but it just said he came to him. And he besought him. I mean, he was asking, begging, pleading. You know, in other words, like, listen, Jesus wasn't begging him to be healed. This man was begging Jesus. Now, I think this, we sang one of our songs today. I saw it while we were singing along. You know, listen, Christ comes to you first and foremost. He came to the earth. He was there. But then now you, through faith and God has part in this. He's drawing you to himself. As God's speaking to you, listen, I mean, this is the deal. You know, come to him. That was the action. There's an action part. And this man was pleading to him, man, if you know what you want, ask. I'm not going to make you, and God's not going to make you. Ask. It says he fell on his knees and he worshiped Jesus. And what it means is that he gave Jesus honor. This request to be healed means that he believed that Jesus could heal. See, that gives him honor. Anytime you ask God, say, God, you know, if you ask a small request, Jesus doesn't get any honor for that. If you ask a big request, the bigger the request, that's what gives God honor. And then we see, lastly, the leper's reward. And the Bible says that Jesus moved with compassion. He moved with compassion. And that means that he was stirred with emotion in the inward parts. Now you got to remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. And the heart was moved. And it moved God. That when we come and we're sincere and we have a request and we are beseeching, begging, calling out to God, that he is moved with compassion. Moves God. And it moved him. And it moved him to do the impossible. Not all the lepers, just this one that came. I'm going to tell you something. If all the lepers had a cave, and remember there was 10 in one place he cleansed later on. But if the whole leper colony had to come in faith, that kind of faith, they would have all been healed, all been cleansed. And I know you're sitting here thinking, boy, wasn't that stupid to just stay in that leper colony and not go be healed? And that it says that leper went and told everybody. Jesus told him not to, but he went and published it. And I believe the first place he went was down there to the leper colony. He probably didn't get too close now, but he hollered in there, hey, you can be healed. I don't know if the 10 came from there that he later on healed. I don't know if they came from there. Maybe. I know one thing. If he just said somebody healed them, I'd have shot out of there, man. If there was body parts falling off while I was sitting still, you ought to have seen the body parts falling off when I was coming out of there, man. Toenails and fingers would have been flying all over the place, man. Hey, buddy, you dropped your arm. That's all right. I ain't going to need it. I'm going to get healed here in a minute. I'd have took off down there, man. I'd have gotten to Jesus as fast as I could have, and I'd have got healed. Isn't that stupid? Think about the people that hear the gospel message and sit there week in, week out and won't go to Jesus to get saved and drop off and go to a Christless hell. That's dumber than the lepers. Huh? Dumb. You can't see him. Get healed. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion, that he put forth his hand and he touched him. When do you think the last time another human being touched him? Probably had nobody touched him in years. At least not nobody that didn't have leprosy. If I had leprosy, I wouldn't touch somebody that had leprosy. And he said, I will, be thou clean. I will, in an instant. It wasn't like today this finger came back and tomorrow the fingernail came back on and the next day a finger, and he said, go show yourself right now. He was healed. I believe it was, it said he was full of leprosy, so I believe he was very visibly a leper. And I believe he was very visibly healed at the instant that was over with. Man, all things became new. I believe Jesus gave him a new set of clothes right there. Man, they just all became white, or they became white as snow and healed. I mean, I believe that. With one word, Jesus can, when one word, he can turn you from death unto life. Just one word. If you just would come in faith, if you would just come to Jesus, expecting, believing, asking, seek and ye shall find, the Bible says. Man, I mean, you know what? If you come to Jesus in an instant, just that quick, I don't know what you came for today. I really don't. What your expectation was. But I noticed that Jesus can transform your life just as quick, just as complete as he did this leper. We're going to have an invitation. Paul will be coming up here in a second. Come on, Paul, you can come on now. And let's all stand. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, pray help us, Lord. The devil gets us so deceived, so distracted, Lord, that we can't hear your call. And Lord, help us to see that you've come, you've died, you're waiting, Lord. You've showed us everything you need to show us, Lord. You showed us that you love us. And Lord, that you're in the saving business today. I don't care how many times folks been baptized and made professions, Lord. I pray that you speak to each heart here today. I pray it's real, just as real. I pray it'll be just as obvious their salvation as is in this leper's cleansing and healing, Lord. You speak to those hearts. And If there's one here more today, just not sure about their salvation, don't have it positive, Lord, not confident, Lord, I pray you reveal that to them, convict them, Lord. They need to be saved, Lord, come forward today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.